Hallelujah. He's worthy. Father, we thank you tonight. We honor you and bless you and praise you, giving you the glory, the honor, the praise, Father. Father, the most precious thing that we have is your mighty word. And your word is just filled with, endued with the anointing. Your word is just waiting to break yokes tonight, just waiting to meet needs tonight, Father. The answers that we have, the questions we have, the situations we face, the answers to every single one found in your word. Father, there's nothing like your word. And we know that heaven and earth will pass away one day, but not your mighty word. Your word's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word, Father God, is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so we thank you for using the word tonight. We thank you that the word shall accomplish the mission for which you send it tonight, because we know your word never returns void. So, Father, we have a great confidence in the word tonight. And, Father, we thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper tonight, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for not leaving us like orphans, but sending us the helper. Father, thank you for the great Holy Spirit tonight. And so have your way in this service. Thank you for unction, for utterance, for speaking to every heart here. Speak into every life. Speak to every heart. Speak into every circumstance, every situation. Speak to every person listening, whatever the venue, however they're hearing. Speak to every person listening to this message through the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all of the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray, believe, and hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you agree with that, stand up on your feet and shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you can have your seat. Hey, let's thank all of our frontline singers, musicians, and leading us into the presence of God. Don't you appreciate them? Praise God. Hallelujah. What an awesome time of worship. It's going into God's presence like that. I tell you, there's nothing like that. The Bible says the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. Amen. When we get in his presence like that, mountains melt. Glory to God. If you have your Bible tonight, we're going to start at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, 28 to 31 is where we're going. When we leave there, we should be headed to Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. And when we leave there, we ought to be headed to Luke 10, 38 to 42. So Matthew 14, 28 to 31. Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" What a powerful passage of scripture, these four verses. And no doubt you've read these many times and been blessed by what transpires in this story. Our title tonight, Fix, Focus, and Finish with Your Eyes on Jesus. I wonder if you'd help me with my title tonight. Look at somebody and tell them, fix, focus, finish with your eyes on Jesus. Yeah, fix, focus, finish with your eyes on Jesus. You know, and waiting on the Lord and asking what he would have us to share during this service. This is one of the first scriptures that was laid on my heart that we began to meditate in. And it's a great story of Peter. Some consider this a failure on Peter's part. I don't consider it a failure. I mean, he did sink there, but this was a great victory. I mean, Peter defied the laws of buoyancy, the laws of gravity. And he did so because of one word from the Lord Jesus. They saw the Lord Jesus walking on the water. They thought they were looking at a ghost, and you know the story. And Jesus said, it's I, don't be afraid. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus spoke that word. Jesus gave him a word and Jesus told Peter, come. And with that, Peter got out of the boat and began walking toward Jesus. I tell you, that's an awesome, it's an awesome passage of scripture of the power of the Lord's words. I said, his words are greater than the laws of buoyancy. The Lord's words are greater than the laws of gravity. I said, there's nothing like the word of God for you. In fact, 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby has been granted unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. And Peter's comrades, his peers, they watched him get out of the boat. They watched him obey the Lord, the command, the word of God. And I'm telling you tonight, God's got a word for you. And I tell you, God's word for you will enable you to do what ordinary people cannot do. Ordinary people will watch you get out of the boat at the word of the Lord. Ordinary people will remind you on your way out of the boat, you know you can't do that. Anybody ever been there? I remember one time I had applied for a job. Somebody came and told me, and they were just trying to help me, I guess. This person came to me and said, you know, I heard you applied for that corporate position. I said, yeah, I did. They said, do you know, in the 25-year history of this company, there's never been a black person at this corporation with the title manager. I think they were trying to help me. In their mind, they were trying to help me. You know, because the Lord had told me, get out of the boat, claim your job. That job is yours. Get out the boat, you know. And see, on the way out, she said, now, I just want to tell you, there had never been a black person with the title manager in that job. I said, well, this will be the first time then. Because you got here a little too late. I said, I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm already beyond there. I was already getting out of the boat, walking on the water. And guess what? At decision time, 2 weeks later, I got the job. I said, when Jesus gives you a word, it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter how good you've been or how bad what you've been. When the Lord gives you a word, get out of the boat and follow him. I said, he will give you the ability to defy the odds. When the Lord says to you, and see, you say, well, the Lord told Peter to get out of the boat. But the Bible says we've got exceeding great, precious promises. Hallelujah. And whatever you're going through, you might be facing circumstance, situations, all kinds of things. But the Lord has given you a promise to defy the odds. And I said, if you'll obey him and get out of the boat, the Lord will bring victory to you. I said, amen. And so Peter got out of the boat and he's walking toward Jesus. And you know, as he's walking toward the Lord, the Bible says he was walking toward Jesus. He was actually walking on the water when he got distracted, didn't he? And the Bible said he looked at the waves. And verse 30 says, but seeing the wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. And so Peter's ability to focus past distractions is a pivotal point. And thank God for the Lord's love. Thank God for the Lord's mercy. Thank God when Peter cried, Lord, save me, the Lord just reached out and grabbed him, picked him up. I like that. That displays the heart of our God. That displays the mercy of God. Amen. Peter had run out of faith, but the Lord had not run out of love and mercy. And the Lord just reached down and grabbed him, walked with him back to the boat. And I like that. But so often we go through the same thing that Peter went through here when we're moving toward God in some area with some precious, exceeding great, precious promise. And then the enemy oftentimes will send distractions to you and I. And sometimes distractions come in the form of circumstances, situations, people. The enemy can send distractions in any number of ways. And I tell you, we've got to be able to fix, to focus, and to finish with our eyes on Jesus. Because there's no doubt the Lord has already won the victory. How many are glad about that? How many glad we're not trying to get any victory over the devil? Jesus already won the victory. How many glad we are partakers of his victory? Glory to God. If you're in Christ, you're in victory. Glory to God. And so the wind started blowing, and it was a tremendous distraction to Peter, and he lost his ability to focus on the Lord. And when he did that, it affected his faith. And this scripture is an admonition to you and I that as the Lord calls us in some area of your life and some area of my life, as he calls us to defy all the odds, to walk on the water, as you're claiming some precious promises, don't get hindered by distractions. I said, amen. Sometimes as people are believing God for their healing and their body's changing and they're making progress and they're moving and they're believing that they're the healed of the Lord and they're starting to see changes, and sometimes they get a report and they get a negative report and people get distracted by that. And if you get a negative report, listen, don't deny a negative report. Those are facts. Don't deny the facts. Can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, your doctor gives you some kind of report about your body or something. Don't be denying that. You better pay attention to that. But then don't just stay there. Arm yourself with the greater facts of God's word and keep pressing on in faith. I said, amen. Arm yourself with the word. The word is greater. Arm yourself with the greater facts of God's word and walk on to your victory. Amen. And so here in this situation, Peter, his focus was broken by the circumstance that he faced. And sometimes that can happen financially. You know, you're trusting God. You may be trusting God tonight, and somebody here tonight, you may have gotten some kind of eviction note, some kind of eviction letter. Well, somebody here, you lost your job. You're believing God for something, you lost your job. Well, let me tell you this, that's not the time to stop trusting God. That's not the time to break your focus. That's the time to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because I'll tell you this, when we keep our eyes on the Lord, we know exactly what to do. When our eyes are on Him, when our eyes are focused with His eyes, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the direction, the circumstance or the thing going on around us, when our eyes are focused on His eyes, when we're moving toward Him, we know what to do. We know what direction to go. I said, amen. And the Lord can continue to help us and bless us when our eyes are, when we're looking at His eyes. You know, the Bible so often tells us to seek His face. You ever seen that in scripture? The Bible says, seek His face. Keep your finger. You're at Matthew 14. Keep your finger there real quick. Turn with me to Psalm 27, verse 4. The Bible says we are to seek His face. Seek His face. Well, I'll tell you why. God doesn't want us to break our focus. Psalm 27, verse 4. 27, 4. The Bible says we're to seek His face. Psalm 27, verse 4. It's not 4. It's 27, verse 8. I'm sorry, 27, 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. See that? 27, verse 8. Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Isn't that interesting that, you know, sometimes there are people who seek what's called the hand of the Lord. They're just looking for what can you give me, God? What can you provide for me today? I want something from you. Just God, I'm after something continually. And you know, we need to go to Him when we have needs and when we have things going on that we're believing God for. We need to get one of those exceeding great and precious promises from 2 Peter 1:4. I tell you, we need to be going to Him, but we shouldn't always be coming asking for something. Sometimes we need to go to the Lord and just to reverence His name. Sometimes we need to go to Him just to bless His name because God's been good. Sometimes we just need to go to Him and turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we just need to go to Him and enter His presence. And He said here, He said, seek my face. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, O Lord, your face I will seek. Over in Psalm, don't turn here, but I'll just give you the references. 24:6, God says, seek my face. Psalm 105, verse 4, God says, seek my face. What's He want? He wanted what Peter was doing when he got out of the boat. Peter was looking in Jesus's eyes. He was fixed. He was focused. And Jesus helped him finish. but God wants us to seek his face. Why? Because we'll see his eyes. When we see his eyes, we'll see his example. Go back with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And so my admonition to you, my brother and sister, is don't let circumstances distract you. And I'll say this, the enemy is the master of distraction. He's the master of disguise. He's the master of distraction. He's the master of discouragement. And if you pay attention to any of that, you might miss your blessing. I said, amen. I said, you can't afford to get distracted by the enemy. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And sometimes he brings distractions through other people. You ever read Ephesians 6:11? 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians 2:11, Ephesians 6:11. The enemy, he is a master at distracting. And so we can't afford to get distracted. Go with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Here at Hebrews 12, we'll read the first three verses. We've got to fix, focus, and finish with our eyes on Jesus. If you're going to overcome whatever it is you're facing tonight, I don't know what your situation may be. I don't know what your circumstance may be, but I do know this. God wants you to fix. He wants you to be able to focus. He wants you to finish on through to the victory. He wants you to walk in the victory because Jesus has already died for it. Jesus has already paid the price for us to have it. In Hebrews 12, the first three verses. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is before us. Look now, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Man, what a powerful admonition to stay focused on the Lord. We've got to stay fixed. We've got to stay focused. We've got to finish with our eyes on Jesus. Here, the hindrance, the encumbrance is this part of this one in this scripture is self-inflicted. It says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. And I tell you, sin will break our focus from the Lord. Sin will form a wedge between us and the Lord. I said, we ought not let anything get between us and God. And we ought not let unconfessed sin remain between us and the Lord. Amen. I said, if there's something that's there, let's confess it and be done with it and truly repent so that there's nothing between us and God. I wish I had one amen in here. I said, the scripture admonishes us not to be encumbered, not to be hindered, not to be weighed down. And sin will do that. And sin will cause us to break our focus from the Lord. And if we do that, we're going to get our eyes off of Jesus. Yet the Bible tells us right here to fix our eyes, to focus our eyes. Verse 2 means don't take your eyes off Jesus. I remember years ago as a young boy in karate class, and our instructor, Katsuya Kasaka, he was trying to teach us how to focus that day. And the object lesson that Mr. Katsuya was teaching us early Saturday morning in karate class was how to focus. And Mr. Katsuya, he came out with a piece of hard bamboo stick. It wasn't like a reed. I mean, it was a solid piece of bamboo. And Mr. Katsuya, he said, look us straight. And Mr. Katsuya, he wasn't playing. And there was about maybe 15 of us in a line, and we were in our karate stance or whatever. And Mr. Katsuya was going down inspecting the line, and he just, bam, he knocked one kid in the head with that piece of bamboo. He hit him hard. And the kid next to him looked, you know, as concerned, you know, wow. And then Katsuya, he knocked him out. Bam. And the next guy, he got a picture of what was about to happen. So he didn't pay any attention to them. He just stayed there. And Katsuya, Mr. Katsuya, he came to him and just waited for him to break his focus. He just had that babu just waiting for him. And I remember the most God-awful thing happened at that point. I'll never forget it. Somebody at the other end of the line had, how do you say it? Well, the kid let out gas real loud. Now you can imagine if we all trying to focus and Katsuya got a piece of bamboo and two people already been knocked down. And Mr. Katsuya is waiting for this guy, and this guy was doing so good till that guy let it go. That joker, he went, and then when he did that, oh man, that guy started laughing. Bam, Katsuya knocked him down. And Katsuya, he had no mercy. He was just going down the line, and it was just, the harder you tried to hold it, the funnier it was. And I was praying, Lord, please, please, Lord, please. I don't want to get hit with that bamboo. And Katsuya knocked out so many people in the line that day. When he got to me, he waited for me to laugh. He was waiting for me to laugh. And the only way I could keep from laughing was to bite my lip. I bit the inside of my lip. I was bleeding. When I got done with there, I was bleeding, but I was happily bleeding. I was like, well, I didn't get hit with the bamboo. I'll take the blood. When God tells you and I to focus, see, what Katsuya was saying was, whatever the distraction is, I want you to be able to focus. And then I focused on a speck on the wall. I was biting my lip and I was looking at a speck on the wall. And you know what God is saying to you and I? Thank God he's not like Mr. Katsuya, but God, but God, our Heavenly Father, he's full of love and mercy, but his command still is to focus. You're believing God for something, but getting distracted. And God's telling you tonight, you better focus. You better focus on my word. Focus on your confession. Focus on what you're believing. Get your eyes off the distractions. You say, so-and-so is bothering me. And come out, who told you to worry about so-and-so? So-and-so is bothering you. You ought to issue a blessing to them and pray for them. But I tell you, we're never going to be successful if we don't focus on what Jesus has done. We're not focusing because we're trying to get the victory. We're focusing because Jesus has already won the victory. And if we'll stay focused on what he said, if we'll stay fixed and focused, we'll be able to finish with the victory, whatever it is. It could be financial. It could be spiritual. It could be something in your body. But our ability to focus on what Jesus has already said is the key to the victory. And if Jesus told us, walk in love, then we got no excuse tomorrow if people are being ugly toward us while we can't walk in love. He told us to focus on that. You're believing God for healing in some area of your life, for restoration, then you better get those precious promises and learn how to focus on them. Because the enemy will come with silly distractions, or if we're not careful, then the weight of sin. And sometimes we have to allow, sometimes we have to make changes. Sometimes the crowd we're running with, we got to change. A preacher never get an amen teaching like that. Sometimes those we're associating with, you have to change. What are you saying? If there's anything that's a hindrance, that's an encumbrance, that's a weight between you and God, don't let anything be a wedge between you and the Lord. So that you can completely focus on what he's told you to do. Focus on his word. Focus on the things of God. Focus on his precious Holy Spirit. And the Bible says God doesn't want us to grow weary and lose heart. And so often we enter into faith in some area and then get weary or begin to lose heart. Why? We're not focused. And just because you start in faith doesn't mean you finished in faith. But I'll tell you this, if we'll stay fixed and focused, we'll be able to finish. With our eyes on Jesus. I don't know what you're trusting God for tonight, my friend, but I know that, you know, like Jesus told Peter, he said, why did you doubt? You have little faith. He said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? In other words, he was telling Peter, your faith was connected to your victory. And so our faith is connected to our victory. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. We know that, but we've got to be able to focus beyond distractions. And if there's someone in your life always creating a negative distraction, always getting you to focus away from the Lord, then you've got to make some changes. The Bible tells you and I to fix our eyes on Jesus, not to let anything hinder us, not to let sin weigh us down. We got to focus. We got to fix our eyes. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. To Luke chapter 10. Fix, focus, finish with your eyes on Jesus. Here in Luke 10, we're reading from verse 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Here we have another story about focus, and here it is with priority. Jesus is coming to Martha's house, and she's distracted, the Bible says, with all of the preparations. And when he gets there, Mary makes a choice. I can go in there and bust suds, or I can recognize that Jesus, the king of my heart, is here. And I want to go sit at his feet and receive his word. Woo! You know, Mary, she was sitting there at his feet. She was completely fixated. She was focused on Jesus. You can tell nothing was going to break her focus. The person really upset in this story is Martha. You get a picture of Martha. She's walking by just giving Mary the evil eye. I'm sure she did that to her sister. In my mind, I'm sure she did that to her sister. Just trying to break her focus. Martha was already distracted. And there's something about distracted people that'll try to get you distracted. You can be following Jesus, obeying Jesus, just doing the will of God for your life, and somebody already out of focus, somebody already distracted, will try to get you distracted. But you can't afford to let people down there at your job, at your house, in your neighborhood. You can't afford to let people get you distracted from the Lord. And she kept trying to move Mary. She kept trying to move Mary, but Mary wasn't budging. Mary was focused on the Lord. Mary was saying, "Listen, I may not get this opportunity again. I'm going to focus." Mary said, I'm going to set a priority. I'm going to make a choice. It's like a person who chooses to spend time with God. Oh, watch it now. Having your daily devotional, your daily time with the Lord, is so critically important to your ability to focus. You know, we are such a busy people. We lead such busy lives. There are always places to go, people to see, and stuff to do. And in the midst of our busyness, we better back up off our schedule and set a priority like Mary so that she would not be distracted. And we better set a priority to find some time with Jesus and learn how to sit at his feet. I wish I had one amen in here. I said, we're always complaining about how busy we are, but then we make choices. We make choices when we should that determine our priorities. And we should be making choices with a priority that I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to focus my attention on God, and then I can get through my day. And I don't care when you have your time, pardon me, with the Lord. You may have your time at night with the Lord. You may have your time during the morning. I love to get up in the early morning. But whenever your time with God is, listen, you better make that a priority. Because there's a direct correlation between your ability to focus on God, to focus on his word, to focus on what he told you, and your time spent with the Lord. And Mary determined that day, nobody's going to mess up my quiet time today. I'm going to sit at his feet and get this word. Yeah, but did you hear this is going? Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, but did you hear this is going? Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, but did you hear about it? Yeah, I heard about all that. But I'm going to sit at his feet and I'm going to get his word. And when the pressures and distractions of life come, I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to be changed. I'm not going to be set off course, because I'm going to be able to focus on the Lord. And Jesus said, and then Martha asked Jesus, she said, make her get up and help me. She won't listen, Lord. She won't take the hint. Make her get up and help me. And Lord told her, he said, Martha, Martha, you are distracted and bothered by so many things. And so many things can break our focus. You know, my brother and sister, worry is something that can break your focus. Can't get no one saying that. Fear is something that can break our focus from the Lord. And if we're not careful, we can get weighed down with the cares of this world. It's a choice, just like sitting in his presence. But if you're having trouble following his word, you may need to do what Mary did and take time to sit at his feet, get his word, focus on him, and you'll be able to focus with the rest of your day. Fix, focus, and finish with your eyes on Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We thank you so much for helping us to focus on you, because we know if we can be successful doing that, we're going to get the victory in every area of our life. Financially, we're going to walk in victory. Spiritually, we're going to walk in victory. In our health, we're going to walk in victory. In every area of our life, we're going to be able to focus and walk in victory. And we thank you for your word tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we thank you, Father God, for ministering to your people. Thank you for your word in 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, we thank you. Some here have gotten off focus. Some here have gotten so out of focus with you, they're not really walking with you. They're Christians, all right, but they're not really walking with you anymore. They're doing their own thing. And with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, if you're here and you've been doing your own thing lately and going your own way, I'm not talking about some little thing. You're the direction of your life, the course of your life. You're going a different way than you're not following the Lord. You're going your own way. You asked Christ to come into your heart, but you're not following him today. I want to pray for you. I want you to lift your hand. Let me see your hand. Lift your hand real high. Ushers, you got to help me. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand. God wants to help you. He wants to direct his attention to you. You got to be honest. The Bible said, if my people called by my name will humble themselves. I tell you what, pride will prevent you from being able to focus on God. But if the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight and you know your heart's not right with God, I want to see your hand. Lift your hand so I can pray for you. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. You're here tonight. Thank you. You're here tonight, and maybe you've never received Jesus. Are you here tonight? You've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You've never had a time when you can identify that you personally asked Christ to come into your heart to forgive your sins. You told the Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to die for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. I believe he paid the penalty and the price for my sins, and I receive him as my personal Lord and Savior. You want to do that? Anybody here like that tonight? Anybody here like that tonight? God's moving. God's helping people tonight. You lifted your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down here because of our renovations, but I'm going to ask you just to stand right where you are. You lifted your hand on any of those invitations, or you should have. I just want you to stand up on your feet right where you are. I'm going to pray right from here. I want you to stand up on your feet. Be honest, be humble. Your hand was just up. Just stand right up on your feet. Hallelujah. Father, you see honest hearts. You see your people, Father God. And Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus. I want everybody to say this prayer out loud after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I surrender control of my life to you. I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. And I now ask him to be my Lord, to be my Savior. You promised, if I asked and I believed, that you would forgive and you would come into my heart. So I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those who have just rededicated your life to the Lord, I tell you, God's got something good for you. You might need prayer in here tonight, and our prayer room workers are going to stand at that back door at the exit sign. They've got some kind of packet up there. And raise your hand again, bro. Our brother back there with his hand raised, he's got something, a packet or something in his hand. If you need prayer for anything or you just prayed that prayer, I want you to go and tap him on the shoulders. Why? We've got free material we want to give you. We want to put some free material in your hand. And we want to answer any question that you might have personally. And get that material and tap our brother there. I can't see who it is. It looks like Brother Paul. Is that Brother Paul? Yeah, he's an anointed minister, man of God. Tap Brother Paul there, and he'll help you. And there's a place to pray, and they'll take you to that place and give you those materials, okay? Remember, saints of God, focus in on the Lord. If you'll be able to fix and focus, and you'll be able to finish with your eyes on Jesus. I don't know what challenges you face this week, but overcoming those challenges, overcoming those obstacles, is going to be connected with your ability to fix, to focus, and to finish with your eyes on Jesus. Now, some of you here, you came and it was your first time tonight, and we want to welcome you again. Let's let them hear our love tonight. Aren't you glad that... We're asking you to step out ahead of the crowd, because just like Pastor Marvin promised, we've got a great gift for you. We want you to go with them just briefly. They're not going to hold you long. They're just going to give you the gift and thank you for coming. So we want you to go with them right now. Let them give you that gift and thank you for coming. So if you would just excuse yourself, step right out right now, go with our connection team folks, and they'll lead you to that place and give you that gift. Let's give these folks another big hand. All right, saints of God, stand up on your feet. You be here Wednesday night for Hour of Power, and there'll be a pastor will be bringing a mighty word. But until then, you remember, fix. What's our point tonight? Fix. Come on, say it with me. Fix, focus, and finish with your eyes on Jesus. All right, God bless you. You are dismissed.